All right, Romans 11:19, page 15 of your notes. Contrary to misapplication and a threat. This discussion continues. You will say then, this would be someone who would come back on Paul after what he has said with regard to our previous session. Branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. Branches were broken off, same aorist passive indicative, ek klao, to break off, klaios, branch, so that I might be grafted in, aorist passive subjunctive of the verb to graft, eg kentridzo. Quite right. That expression is simply the adverb kalos, which can be translated very well. Quite right, gets the point over. They were broken off for their unbelief. They were broken off, ek kalao, break off, unbelief, apostia, with a definite article and the pronoun. But you stand by your faith. You stand, perfect indicative, histemi, by your faith. All right. Do not be conceited. we have the word to think, poroneo, aorist, active imperative, with the word hupslos, which means high, exalted, in a moral sense, to be high-minded or conceited. But fear, but be afraid. Present imperative of the verb to be afraid, phobeomai. Now we take this to another level. We have seen that the church has replaced Israel due to Israel's unbelief. Unbelief in the sense of a complete corporate repudiation of their Messiah. It's in their prophecy, and it occurred at the first advent. And the mentality of rejecting who and what Jesus Christ is has not changed. It has continued. There may not be the hostility being exhibited by Jews today towards Christians. I don't know. The ones in Israel seem to be friendly towards evangelical Christians because evangelical Christians support the fact that Israel needs to be back in their land, and it is their land and all the rest of it, based on a true Christian understanding for those Christians who do believe that the Abrahamic covenant promises land in perpetuity to Abraham and his descendants. Okay. For if he did not spare the natural branches. Okay, our word if, and it's first class condition. If God did not spare branch, and then we have the word according to nature. That's the literal Greek. The branches according to nature, so natural branches. It's the preposition kata with the word phusis, which is natural. He will not spare you either. Phidomai, future indicative, either. Behold then. Okay. Take note. That's the idea behind behold. Idu. Behold then. The kindness, Christos, the kindness and the severity, apotomia. These are opposites. Behold then the kindness and severity of God to those who fell, severity. to those who fell, pipto, those having fallen, pipto, to fall, severity. The word severity only occurs twice, and it's in all, both of them in this verse, apotemia. Behold then the kindness and severity of God to those who fell, severity. But to you, now again, you know that he's talking here to the Roman Gentile Christians. So he's addressing Gentile believers versus Jewish believers or Jewish unbelievers. But to you, God's kindness. Again, that same word. If you continue in his kindness. If you continue in his kindness, otherwise, epi, you'll be cut off. Also, chi adjunctive. Cut off is ek kopto. Now, where are we going with this one? The subject of potential Gentile arrogance with respect to Israel's downfall continues. Verse 19 presents a possible Gentile response to Paul's warning with respect to Gentile miscalculation regarding their grafting in. A miscalculation. The miscalculation is, I don't know what it is exactly. Now we're better than you are. We're better historically than you are. We're better than you are in every way. You're out of the picture now, or you're out of the picture. There are those Christians in the history of Christendom who believes that Israel has been cut off forever. But of course, they're not pro-dispensationalists, typically. They do not take seriously the prophecies in the Old and New Testament about Israel's reestablishment, reinstatement, and their greatest glory as a people. I'm talking in the flesh, natural people. Their greatest glory lies out in front of them. They're gonna break all records. The Jewish remnant who make it through the trib and start populating the Jewish state as it will exist in the millennium, with Christ ruling over them in person, they're going to be the ultimate example of a mass of people who get positive and stay positive, and no more stunts. This is pretty apparent in the prophecies that there's going to be no problems with them. No need to send them prophets calling them back to God. So in verse 19, Paul presents this objection with the introductory, "You will say then." For the assertion, "Branches were broken off that I might be grafted in," is based on a superiority complex and a disdain of Jews in general. Paul wants to offset that. He wants everybody to have the right attitude. Yes, they were broken off. Yes, they have sinned grievously in the worst way imaginable. They're not even believers, or they wouldn't be cut off. A cut off branch represents those who die in a state of unbelief. And believe me, and there are untold millions through time of the Jews who have died in their sins, unsaved, because they are clinging to salvation by works, the works of the law. I'm dealing with the Jews in general. There are Jews that are not religious. There are Jews that are this and that. But we're dealing with the main group. The assertion is, "Branches were broken off that I might be grafted in," again, is based on a superiority complex in disdain of Jews. Well, you just think you're better than other people. Well, I'm better by God's grace. If I'm better, I'm better by God's grace. And my own diligence in becoming a believer, and sticking with the plan of God. But it's still God's grace, and there's no place for me or anyone else to be arrogant about that. Yes, if I'm a believer, I'm better than an unbeliever. There are elements within Christendom that believe that the church has inherited all the promises given to Israel. They spiritualize these things. And that God is forever done with the original chosen people. Nothing could be further from the truth. He's not done with them. It's just this long period where corporate Israel and God are not on the same page at all. The only thing they're doing that God would have them do is get back in the land and get it reestablished. But that isn't going to get you anything in the afterlife and get you free from eternal condemnation. There is a mentality among the Jews that it's our land, okay? And that's when Christ came. They knew he was who he was. And the leaders, they wanted to run the country their way. And they wanted to exclude him. That's exactly the mentality I detect in the Jews. They're talking about prophecy being fulfilled, bringing in the day of redemption. What is it? And all nations will come to Israel. Israel will be this and that and all this other stuff. And yet they can't tell you where or who their Messiah is. But he's coming. And yet it's right in front of them. It's right in the Bible. It's like when I show people verses to document something and they want to continue to dig their heels in, leave me alone. Don't try to send me messages with email and little articles supporting something that you know I don't agree with. I've made the case from the pulpit. Take it or leave it. That's up to you. I'm not arguing it with you. I'll answer a question. But when you have clear information, comes from the Word of God, but you accept something that's its opposite, well, what can you do with that? You can't do anything with that mentality. There is nothing you can do. You let God deal with them. Maybe they'll just, you know, stiffen their necks and go right on into phase three and find out that was right. And they had a chance to grab a hold of it down here. They will. They'll hit that wall. They will not have a pleasant experience if they continue to resist. I'm not talking about someone who's struggling with something, who's trying to figure it out and get the details and a period of time to come around and understand what the teaching is. But they got all these students of the Old Testament. They got the translators, rabbis, scholars, all the archaeologists. They got all this stuff. They believe that there was an Exodus. They believe there was an Abraham. They believe there blah 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 blah. The stories in the Old Testament. They believe them. And then when it comes to this stuff about the Messiah and why they're in captivity, it's like they fall on their face. Hey guys, we're in captivity. We've been scattered among the nations. And our last scattering came right on the heels of our repudiation of our Messiah. It was prophesied by him and our Old Testament prophets that we would not esteem him, that we would turn on him, and that he would bear the sins of us all. And the Jewish leadership of his day, I mean, this is just gross. The high priest, the high muckety mucks in the Jewish ruling body, and all the Pharisees running around. There were a few of them that did come around. There were some of them that actually did convert. And then some of them had their own problems after that. That's another story. Judaizers wanting to make all Christians in the form of a Jew in the Old Testament, starting with circumcision. That was what happened in Galatia. They weren't disbelievers in Jesus Christ. They were just messed up. They didn't want to let go of all that. That is no longer applicable to a church age believer, like their dietary code, like their holidays or feasts. We're not bound by that. We're not under that. It's right in the New Testament. There are no special holidays designated for this dispensation. Not even the seventh day Sabbath that was very sacred to the Jews and is important that they observed, not working on the seventh day, our Saturday. We're not under it. And Abraham wasn't under it. He was under circumcision, but he had to get to 100 years old before that became law. They don't get it, do they? They just don't get it. They don't want to get it. They've been raised up a certain way. They're locked into this. But that is going to change. That is going to change, not for every last one of them, but it's going to change. And change the whole complexion, the whole thing. They're going to come to recognize what they did. And Jesus said, falling on this stone is painful. But it's better to fall on it and, you know, lick your wounds than it is to have the stone fall on you and grind you to powder. He used that analogy. And they're going to fall hard. When this rapture event occurs, there's going to be a mass conversion, I believe, in the United States of America, where the largest population of Jews reside on this earth right to this day. Well over 50%. Reside in the United States. And we had two prophecies out of I think it was Zechariah or was it Zephaniah? Anyway, we had two prophecies. One, they're coming out of the land of the north. That's Russia. There's a contingent of them up there. Not nearly as many as in the United States. And events spur them on. But these who come back from go back to the land of their ancestors from America, they're going to be praising Jesus Christ to the high heavens. It's in the prophecy in Jeremiah, great is he who judges her. And they know who he is. It's not some mystical Messiah out here they're waiting for. Oh yeah, and by the way, they got some of the awful stunts they've pulled in their history. Collectively, different times. You would think, well, couldn't God choose a better people than this? No. There's no other people that could do what they did. Everything being equal. But they still got another, the negative ones among them. The hardheads, the incorrigibles. They got another big stunt to pull. Embracing the Antichrist and putting his sophisticated, technological, idol, walking, breathing, talking idol in that temple that's yet to be built. They're gonna make a covenant with death. Well, that would have to be the leaders, because the rank and file people down here can't do that. They can't sign a treaty with an outside power. And they'll sign a 7-year treaty with him. Ironically, the trib is 7 years, but this is at the midpoint. It's one of those treaties. If I live up to everything I say I'm going to do for you, then we'll revisit the treaty. That's why it's 7 years. It's ironic, isn't it? Satan likes to co-opt things in the Bible. So, they're not through pulling stunts, but we're focusing on the contingent that is yet to come out of the darkness into the light and embrace the one whom their ancestors have been repudiating all these many centuries. These type of Christians are typically anti-dispensational. Although all Calvinists aren't, some Calvinists are dispensationalists, but they typically are of the Calvinistic, that vein of Christianity. It says God is done with the Jews forever, and all the promises given to the Jews are fulfilled in the church, and they have to mystify stuff like, you know, the land and all the other stuff. It is true, and Paul in verse 20 agrees with the position that branches were broken off due to widespread Jewish unbelief. What's a Jew just because he's tied to Abraham? He's nothing. If that's where he stays, he's a Jew. That's all. He's a racial Jew. He doesn't have a leg up on a racial Gentile of any background until he becomes a believer. They died in their sins by the billions, probably. He says, I'm going to make your descendants like the dust of the earth and like the stars above. Well, one might argue with that, but we have to hear this whole thing out. And we're not through hearing this whole thing out just when we get to the end of the millennium. And the 1,000 years are over, and the kingdom of God on earth is officially over. And it will be transitioned into the new earth and the new creation. And then what do you got? You got eternity ahead of you. I have a lot of questions, or I have some questions. But I just think some things are just, you just got to realize it'll become clear when you get there. Corporate Israel in that condition could not continue to represent the plan of God, POG, as they taught the false doctrine of salvation by works and the repudiation of their rightful Messiah. You're no better off than anybody when you're in that mode. Maybe you're even worse off temporally because you have the light and you won't accept it. The words, you stand by your faith, is addressed to Gentile Christians. And this refers, of course, to saving faith. You make your stand on faith. I'm a believer because I've exercised faith and I have all these scriptures to show you that all I have to do is believe in Jesus Christ. I don't have to know a bunch of theology, a bunch of Bible doctrine. I just have to know and have someone tell me that he died for my sins and was raised, blah, blah, blah. And all I have to do is believe in him, and I'm okay forever in that sense. I'm saved. Once saved, always saved. Got to throw in the doctrine of eternal security. That's all. That's where we take our stand. I'm saved. I can't improve on it. That part of it, you can't improve on it. Now, as a believer, you can make improvements and growth and build up SG3. I did announce that we will not have class Tuesday and Wednesday this week. Do not commit gluttony. It's a sin. Oh, just trying to help you out. Besides, you might get sick. Oh, and I'll throw in one more verse about food. Food does not commend you to God. Why would that have to be in the Bible? I don't know. It's to tell people that maybe aren't eating at the highest level of cuisine that it doesn't detract from your relationship with God. In the least, or if you eat better than the next person, it'll make you better. That's elementary. That's just elementary stuff. You're not better because of your surroundings. You're better because what's on the inside and what applications you're making. That's why God likes to take the lowest of the low and exalt them over the mighty and the powerful who are negative. Not because he favors poor people and people in low class categories. He doesn't. But he likes to take the weak things of the world to confound the strong. And will he ever, when it shoves in their face, what these people, the high and mighty negative, running around, caught up in their little world of materialism and making more money. I have to laugh at some of these. It's not laugh, but it's just like, we have some big name people, and some of them are old men. Billions aren't enough yet, are they? They got to be making more. They're going to be trying to make deals and buy stocks and trade them until they croak. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity and chasing after the wind. And you're not even, and your soul isn't even, in some, probably most of these cases, your soul isn't even in the right place. It's in jeopardy of eternal wrath, of which there's no turning around, there's no out, there's no changing that situation. Okay. It is the potential attitude of conceit, pride, that might arise in some Christians when they realized that they were lifted up and placed above these negative, unbelieving Jews and given a dispensation of their own in which they could excel at all the benefits of being a believer in this dispensation at this time, and eventually having the completed canon of Scripture and having all this going for you. This is not a place to exercise pride over the Jews. Paul said, I'm going to exalt my ministry that in my lifetime that I might win some of them over and get them to snap out of this. But there's nothing you can do but give people information and put the word out, and it's up to people to make up their own minds as to what they're going to do with it. Thankfully, there's no magic that I or anyone else has to win people that are otherwise committed to being negative, or Jesus would have been able to do it. He did everything. All the evidence was there. Can you imagine living at that time and seeing him and his work and his miracles and his ministry and his words? So we will just stop here, and I'll see you, God willing, a week from today. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity of being able to assemble one more time. Be with us this week, watch over us, and deliver us from evil. In Christ's name, amen.